Love needs feeding. Feed the field of your relationship, the energy, the universe of your relationship with a beautiful event. And I have some really delicious ideas that are more experiential in nature rather than material in nature, because really we all have plenty of stuff. But it's the memories when we die, when they finally kick dirt in our face. It's how well did we love, and were those experiences meaningful?
All right, Front Row Dads, I've got a special show for you today because I am joined by my amazing friend, Alana Pratt, who is an intimacy expert. And I'm going to spare the big bio from millions of views on YouTube to coaching celebrities and so much in between there. I'm just going to say that I've had personal experience working with Alana, both in a one-to-one conversation, both live and in person, over the phone. I've been in retreats that she's been leading people. I've been in conversations with folks that have been impacted by her coaching and her connection and her conversation. I've been at big events where she's rocked the stage. It really, there's a lot of things I could say about Alana and her impact, but we're just going to get into it today, have a conversation. The topic is going to be around Valentine's Day, this month of love that we're in. And we both showed up today with decked out in red, ready to rock, in case you're not, if you're just listening to this and not watching us on YouTube. But we will share a couple clips on our YouTube channel. But Alana, what's up? Welcome. Glad you're here.
Oh my God, it's so good to be with you. Instant rapport and like goofiness and healthy flirtation and deep conversation and like, and you know, dive into the unknown every time we are together. So thank you for having me back. Oh my God.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah. What we should do is we should be recording our pre-show conversation and then like allow that, like that's the vault that people have to somehow get into.
Like that we'd have to donate to the Front Row Foundation. Now we're so hot and so naughty that we have to charge babies.
That's right. Oh man. So let's just start with something fun. Let's start with something light. What can we celebrate with you right now? What's going great in your life? What are you happy about?
Well, we are recording, we're pre-recording, but today's the day my new website went live. I've been working on it for, my God, like it was supposed to launch in October. It's now like, you know, almost February. So I'm really proud of that. So proud of that. Along with it, my new book, Finding the One is Bullshit, Becoming the One is Brilliant and Beautiful. And ironically, the key, of course, as we all know, to attracting the ideal partner or awakening the best in your partner, this intimacy with self. Like, so I'm just so proud of myself. What else is cool and rocking? I'm living in Palm Desert outside of LA. Another year of being around my son, but not too close to create peace from the divorce with him and his dad. So proud of myself that I'm still, you know, I don't have a traditional motherhood and I choose to not be a victim. I make it work. My son and I are closer than ever. I even had the courage to text my dad. I haven't talked to my dad in 5 years. The divorce was hard on him being in the middle of it all. And he did his best, but he was unkind. And I don't want unkind people around me. So I stopped talking to him. But he's here in the desert right now. And I'm feeling it. And I just decided to let go and forgive and let go of being right and making him apologize and making him own his stuff and just, you know, give him a pass. He's 80, I'm 50. And so I reached out. He hasn't responded, but I won't have any regrets. I reached out. So I'm proud of that. And I had a 50th birthday party and I rented a mansion and I paid for all my friends to come and I catered it. And I'm out of debt. Wow. I'm out of all that legal debt, $250,000 of legal debt, all done. Building my savings, I put aside an extra 10K and I put on a birthday party for my friends to say thank you for being there for me through it all. And we had chocolate truffles and Prosecco and we had sacred circles and we had dance parties and we had tantra exercises and we had yoga. And I said very vulnerably to them, this is the year where I need to receive more. I need to ask for your love. So every week I'm going to call one of you. Who do you know that could be my guy? Because my priorities and my actions, as I heard, oh, wise one, you on the stage of BYEB, really putting it out there, like, are our actions aligned with our priorities? And that was not true when it comes to love. I just love everybody and I make love with God and my vibrator and I'm a, you know, I'm a happy lady and I make a difference and I don't experience loneliness.
Yeah.
And yet I'm ready for a partner. So I vulnerably asked them to hold me accountable to that every week I would make a call and meet somebody. So there's my long update.
That's beautiful. I love that. Alana, that's so wonderful. I'm so happy for you. I love your openness and your vulnerability and your candor. It's really refreshing. It's really cool. There's a lot of guys who are probably learning about you today, connecting with you for the first time, learning from and with you in this conversation. So one of the things that, let's address it right away, which is, somebody's going to hear all that and say, okay, wait a minute, is this show for me? Like, Alana, does she help single people find love? Alana's not in a relationship right now. Let's just go there and address that head on from a lot of guys who are married and saying, all right, is this the show for me? Should I be listening to this? How do you speak to that when you're talking with couples? Because you were at a retreat and I've seen you brilliantly lead successful conversations with couples. That was where we were. We were at a couples retreat.
There was like 10, 12 couples I was leading. Yeah. Basically, the presupposition, the what's underlying all the work I do with singles and couples is intimacy. And on the surface level, there's a lot of people that I'm in a great couples relationship and I can show you how to be in a great couples relationship. And that's awesome. And that's not me. Mm-hmm. And I help a lot of singles because I understand the heartache of divorce. So I have more in common with people that are single than I do in common with people that have been married 20 years. But I don't deal with really, I'll call that more surface level, everyday things. I go right to the core because that's efficient and effective. And the core is, do we have an intimate relationship with ourself?
Yeah.
And this intimacy with self, do we criticize ourself? If we do, we will criticize our partner. Are we emotionally unavailable to that wound inside? Well, guess what? We're going to have emotional unavailability, you know, disconnection in our relationship. Do we have an intimate relationship with our sexuality? Do we shame our sexuality? Are we embarrassed? Do we speak up? Do we try to control the conversation? Or can we just be in the present moment, out of control, completely at choice? All of these are very deep, intimate capacities that I teach singles and couples that lead to thriving relationships with yourself, with your body, with your sexuality, with your purpose. Hell, you at BYAB, I took them through a 30-minute intimate relationship with money. Mm-hmm. Like, money is energy too. Your purpose is an energy that emerges in you as you through you to then give and speak and make an impact. That's a relationship too of intimacy. Do you feel worthy to be who you are and make an impact? All of this is intimacy. So that's the core work I do with all people that enhances couples relationships and dating relationships.
Mm. Yeah. You know, when I think about coaches and how we sometimes judge them about whether or not they can teach us something, right? I remind myself at times that, you know, often the best sports coaches, a basketball coach as an example, will coach a player that's arguably that player is better at basketball than the coach is, right?
Totally.
But that's not really all that a coach is. It's just better at the thing they're trying to tell you to do. There is somebody, of course, that there's validation to if they've walked the path and they understand something, then great. But there's something about coaches also that have this perspective and they have a line of questions. They have, you know, they hold space. There's lots of things that coaches do outside of just being better at you than the thing they're trying to coach you on.
Yeah.
I think that's just a good reminder for all of us at all times, because, you know, that's like thinking that my kids can be my greatest teacher on any given day.
Oh my God.
You know, and innocently at times too, but most of the time.
There's a capacity to have somebody speak to you and show you your blind spot in a way that's tender, caring, and yet firm and honest that we can't do for ourselves. I mean, I'm an amazing high level, best in class coach. Can't see my blind spots to save my life, right? So there's a humility and a bravery I need to access, I choose to access, so that I always have one, two, or three coaches at all times going on. How dare I think I have something to share with another if I'm not willing to sit in that very same fire with my own coach that I'm asking them to sit in? So really, my capacity, having gone through the humiliation of all of the divorce, all of the, you know, losing and being called I'm a horrible person and lies and family turning against me and going into debt and all these kind of things. What I learned was I was sourcing my worth from the outside in. Do you approve of me? Do you agree with me? Do you like me? Will you hire me? Will you, you know, want to have sex with me? Like what? Like it was all outside in. The gift in all of that is I've learned to rewire myself from the inside out. While I prefer that you like me, I don't require it or need it or want it. I do all of that self-worth coming home to my wobbly parts and my triumphant parts, all of my parts on the inside so that I can be present. If I can teach that capacity to another, awaken that capacity in another, your relationship, you don't have to control your partner. They're not the source of your happiness. They don't need to be a certain way in order for you to be okay. You can become authentically curious. You can become that banks of the river for your wife if you don't need her to be a certain way for you to be okay. And that, oh, the intimacy that happens. But that, just as you said a minute ago, you can apply that to your kids. If you can't be with your kids being a certain way, if you need to control and dominate them because you feel so out of control on the inside when they do something, are you really a great listener? Mm-hmm. Are you really that, you know, safe parent that they can come to and ask anything? Do you immediately fix and judge, or can you just listen? Like, this intimacy is going to affect every area of your life in a positive way. So if you want to learn how to live with somebody for 30 years, day in, day out, I'm not your gal. But if you want to learn how to live better, deeper, richer, more authentically, more juicy, more honest, more raw, more real, yeah, I'm your gal.
Well said. Let's talk about what's going on this month, specifically as it relates to the trigger for the conversation being Valentine's Day. I'm going to go somewhere. It just hit me that I wanted to ask this question, which is, what does Valentine's Day mean to you? How do you define it? What's it all about in your world?
Well, that I think is the question I wanted to ask everyone. So you're one step ahead of me. Perfect. Because our point of view creates our reality. Yeah. There are so many people that hate Valentine's Day because they feel the pressure of the, you know, hiked up prices of dinner and of roses and the obligation. Don't you make me blah, blah, blah. And all the marketing. Okay. I agree. I totally agree that is going on in the space during the month of love. But if you choose to resist that, judge that, reject that, focus on that, and then you give the gift, the energy that you're giving the gift with is like one foot on the brake, one foot on the gas, one foot, you know, crunchy and the other one loving. Like, it's going to be felt by her and she's going to be like, ooh, why'd you get me this out of obligation? It's not going to land. It's not going to open her. It's not going to enrich the relationship. So my request is, you're not a victim. Don't be a victim of what marketing wants to say. You're in charge. Pick up the reins of your own life and create your own point of view of what Valentine's Day means to you.
Yeah.
A reminder of, like, have you been taking her for granted? Maybe a little bit. Have you been watering and feeding and nourishing the plant of love in your marriage? Use this as a reminder to align your actions with your priorities, that marriages need feeding. Love needs feeding. Feed the field of your relationship, the energy, the universe of your relationship with a beautiful event. And I have some really delicious ideas that are more experiential in nature rather than material in nature, because really we all have plenty of stuff. Okay. But it's the memories when we die, when they finally kick dirt in our face, it's how well did we love and were those experiences meaningful? And can she open even wider? Can you be so firm, solid, badass, noble, that she'll open her body, mind, and spirit even more to you than she ever has before? Like, that's my challenge for this Valentine's Day, experiential rather than material.
Did I hear you say something to the effect of Valentine's Day is an opportunity to align values with actions?
Yes, I did.
I was making a note because I thought that's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good. You know, my experience, Alana, and I've shared this on the show about other holidays, is that I, first of all, I've had the identity in the past much more than I do today because I've been working on this, is that I suck at holidays. And that's been a belief that I've had in the past. I still don't think I'm nailing it completely, but I think I'm figuring out a few things. But there's still some stuff that I wrestle with, and whether that's old programming or whatever it might be, I still wrestle with this. And I'll give you an example. Part of it is I wrestle with how much do I do because I've defined it, because I think I know what's up. I'm going to surprise her. I'm going to just like take the reins, schedule the day. I'm not even going to tell her. I'm be like, meet me here, do that, right? Like, just own it. And then how much do I involve her and say, what would an amazing Valentine's Day look like for you? Like, let's talk about past Valentine's Days and try to understand it and really try to meet her needs directly by asking what they might be.
Yeah.
I wrestle with those two things, right? I wrestle with also believing what she tells me. So she says, no, let's not do anything. Let's just keep it low key. And then I'm like, great. And then I keep it low key. And she's like, you're supposed to do something anyway. You're not supposed to believe me when I say I don't want to do anything. Right? Like, I literally have that internal debate going on about Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it must feel like you can't win.
In some ways it feels like, and that's where I became resentful to the holiday was I was like, God, with all that pressure of having to like deliver and do this perfectly. And like, you got one shot. I was like, that's why I felt like I could always be happier on any given Tuesday or that because it just like, if I did something great on a Tuesday, it was totally above any expectation. I was a total hero, right? Like, it was amazing. Sometimes on Valentine's Day, you set this bar so high that it's impossible to leap over that.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. This reminder that Valentine's Day is to align your values with your actions, that this is a reminder to feed love into your relationship, shows us that are we waiting just until Valentine's Day to do anything? Well, that would create a lot of pressure and that would have a very high expectation. So instead of that, make it the rinse and repeat. I'm going to have some fun with what I give. I'm going to let go of importance. I'm going to drop significance. I'm going to let go of all expectations. I'm going to have fun for me and I'm going to create fun for her. And I'm going to do it regularly. Maybe not daily, but like, could you say like once a month, what could I pull out of the hat? And so this doesn't put so much pressure on me. And yes, can I have a conversation with her about what would delight her? What would turn her on? What would be meaningful? But remember, we all evolve and change. Some years, you're really going to be in a very action-oriented year. You're taking action. So that's the year that she doesn't get a say. You're tying her up and you're going to have your way with her, right? You know? And then other years are
taking notes, taking notes.
More introspective. And those are years where your whole energy for the year is more introspective. You do want to be asking her what would turn her on. It is more of a co-creative experience. There isn't a right way or a wrong way to do this. There's just what's true for you moment to moment. And can you trust that? And can you honor that? And can you not do it to be good enough, to get approval, to get a gold star? Can you do it because it's who you are now, right? Every way you're going to go about it is going to have a pro and a con. There's going to be a benefit and a disadvantage to just leading and doing it yourself or including her. There is no right answer. There's just different ways. So let go of having to do it right. Let go of it being the right or wrong way. Let go of the outcome, the significance and importance of the outcome, and just do it for you. When you're turned on, when you are your noble badass, when you're having fun, just that is a gift. And do it because you, to the best of your ability, to know your woman. Is she more into the words, the touch, the gift, the surprise, the sensuality, the kink? Like, what is her energy? And of course, that will change too over a marriage. And trust your own masculine instinctual intuition and go for it. Remembering, even if it totally flops, hey, you did your best. Go back inside your little heart to little you and go, hey, fist pump, noogie noogie, you did your best, dude. I love you. Whether she is, you know, thumbs up or thumbs down today, we're not doing it for her approval. We're doing it for the experience. Mm. I think that's really important to remember that it's an inside out choice, not an outside in. Am I good enough?
Alana, what do the conversations with your clients look like this month? Not giving away anything, of course, in a confidential sense, but you know, looking at patterns, looking at what are the typical questions that men are asking about this process? Where are they afraid? Where are they failing, right? What do all those conversations look like with you and your clients? And maybe even perhaps, if I may layer on to the already long question, is when you look back at past client experiences, like maybe any stories that come to mind about people that have figured something out and what did they do that made it a great success?
I have three quick little stories. The first one is a current client, and again, totally anonymous, but he was so resentful of the lack of sex. So we'd even call it anything less than once a week to me is a sexless marriage. And so very sexless marriage, like maybe three times in a year. And he was super resentful, super passive aggressive, and very obligatory that I've got to do something. And I'm like, well, why would I want to open my vajayjay to somebody who's passive aggressive with me, who, you know, drinks too much late at night because he doesn't know, he's afraid of rejection? Why would that turn me on? Why would that make me feel safe, right? Mm-hmm. So we did some deep inner work where we owned his survival mechanisms of drinking and passive aggressiveness. And we went, once we moved through that and integrated and processed that very validated frustration. I'm not saying he ought not to be frustrated. I'm saying the way he's handling it isn't effective. And then we went underneath it to the little guy who's felt so rejected, all the way back to a little young boy who had a hearing problem as a kid, was deaf, got an operation, was so teased because as he learned how to speak, it was strange because he was hearing his voice fully for the first time. This went all the way back to 5 years old, this fear of rejection. We healed that. And he cried and he came home to himself for the first time in about 50 years. And then we applied that inner home and strength to put down the shield of passive aggressiveness, to put down the drinking too much, and to open his heart and to just be kind and be bold. And I told him to give her, he hasn't done it yet because it's not Valentine's Day yet, but this is what I told him to do. Give her the roses. She's ready for the roses. She wants the roses, but give them to her one at a time with a reason why she's beautiful outside and in, emotionally beautiful, sexually beautiful, physically beautiful, motherly, maternally beautiful, badass beautiful, all the different ways she's beautiful. One at a time, give her a rose with a reason. Now that's going to blow open the relationship right there. That is the noble badass she's been waiting for. That is the reason behind the gifts. Like, yes, he provides a huge house and gifts and travel and all the rest of it, but she's not appreciative of any of it, which I wish she would be, but he's coaching with me, not her at this point anyways. She's going to look at that bouquet of roses in gratitude that he remembered Valentine's Day, but that's just the surface. She's going to remember, kind of makes me want to cry right now, of all the reasons he really does love her. And she really does mean something. Now that's going to open her heart, her body, and her vagina to him and want to have really awesome sex that he's craving, but he's going about it in an effective way, not an ineffective manner. Mm-hmm. So I'm just looking forward to how that goes and getting some feedback from him.
Yeah. I want to add something in here real quick, just a personal experience that I'm not even sure it totally relates to what you just said. So this might be a little tangential in its nature, but one of the things that I hear, especially when it comes to passive aggressive, maybe that's the trigger for me, right? Is that when we speak in a certain way, when we are resentful, when we bring energy to a relationship, it's like if you just put yourself in the other person's shoes for a minute, yeah, why would they want to open up? Why would they want to be close to you? Why would they want to be intimate when you're attacking them? You know, even passive aggressively attacking them, it's still an attack on a regular basis. And you know, sometimes what just came to mind for me when I'm applying my own blueprint of my relationship over top of that story was that a lot of times where I failed in the past was I might have done some things right on Valentine's Day, but the reason it didn't work is because I was a total dick the week or two leading up to Valentine's Day. And I somehow expect that because I show up with flowers and dinner or whatever, that everything's going to be perfect on that day. And that it just somehow, she forgets about all the passive aggressive commentary in the week leading up to it, which makes me think to myself, one of my own personal strategies this Valentine's Day is going to be to remind myself, it's not just what happens on Valentine's Day. It's about the week leading up to Valentine's Day.
Or the year.
Or the month or the year, all those things, right? But specifically, even like looking at my calendar and saying, I used to view Valentine's Day as a singular day. Like, I'm going to crush that day. But now I really need to look at it and say, all right, I'm going to be game on. I should be game on all the time, right? But in all reality, if I'm getting focused, if it's a short-term challenge, if it's a little burst in the relationship, if you will, it's for me, it's going to be more about, let's not schedule any serious confrontational dialogue in the week leading up. Let's not address the thing that I've not been addressing for the last year, 4 days before Valentine's Day. That's going to be part of my strategy. Whether that's you'd agree with that or not, I just think about the importance of the lead up time. Like who you are, not just on the day, but all the days leading up to it.
Yeah. Do you clean up your messes? Do you own your shit? Do you make up for the damage done?
Yeah.
Do you focus on what you're grateful for and the good? Do you touch her? Not just straight for the nipples and the yoni. Do you touch the small of her back until you actually feel her surrender regularly? Mm-hmm. You know, these, I mean, with those roses, you could split it up into one. It's a leap year this year. 29 roses are coming on, you know, every day in February. If it's really the month of love, and what would that practice make you think on a daily basis? Something small, but rich, deep, and meaningful, mm-hmm. or sexy, or kinky, or fun, or goofy. All the different energies apply because love has all these flavors. I remember when I got really into pole dancing, I miss it so bad. I haven't pole danced in like 3 years, but it was a good 7 years where I went 1, 2, 3 times a week. And we were asked to bring a song that represented the emotion of that week that we were willing to move through our body. And all these different flavors of the feminine, all these different flavors of sexuality, all these different flavors of creativity and expression, I expanded that. I only had ever thought about my sexuality as bow chicka bow bow. But there was a goofy, dorky Alana. There was a naughty, kinky Alana. There was a dominatrix Alana. There was a curl up in the fetal position, hold me Alana. There was a sunshiny, goofy lady. There was an enigma with a hood over my head in the corner. There was all these different flavors of me that I needed to get to know, to embody, and to come alive, and to bring home into my heart, and then bring to my partnership. And so you could explore all the flavors of love with your partner with what you're giving her a rose for that day. All the different flavors of her that you appreciate and that you want to welcome forth. So I love what you're saying there. This is meant to be a reminder of what it takes to feed ourselves intimately and thus feed our relationship intimately.
Yeah. All right, guys, I want to take just a quick second to talk about something really important. Now, I know you're listening to the show because you want to level up your game at home, but if you want to take the next step within Front Row Dads, I want you to do something today, which is text the words Front Row Dads to 314-665-1767. It's three separate words, Front Row Dads. It's not case sensitive. I want to send you a few things right away. First, I want to send you a recording from a masterclass that I recorded with my good friend and author of The Miracle Morning, Hal Elrod. He's a father of two amazing human beings, and we recorded a show called The 5 Habits of a Front Row Dad. I want to send that to you because I think it is well worth listening to. Second, I want to give you 45 minutes of a mind-blowing conversation that I had with a woman named Kim Anami, and the show is titled Have Better Sex. Hugely popular. This will rock your world and likely your spouse's as well, but I want you to have access to this information. Number three, I want to give you access to 1,300 other Front Row Dads inside of our Facebook group where you can ask any question, share any win, and give any resource that you think would be valuable to the community. And lastly, I want to include you in one email I send out each week. It's short, it's to the point, and I pull from my life experiences along with the insights from more than 135 members of our brotherhood. I want to give you the best of the best in each email. So all you have to do is just text the words Front Row Dads to 314-665-1767, and we will get you started today.
Yeah, it's just something that's really interesting about this idea that I've put all that pressure on Valentine's Day in the past, and that what I'm taking away from this conversation personally is that it's really like, and you said it early on, like if you think it's all about just that day, right? Then yeah, it's like, yeah, it's interesting. The pressure for me, I can feel it being relieved when I don't have to make it just about crushing that day. It actually makes it less intense for me when I do think about it, about the 10 days leading up to it, because I'm like, I got 10 days to win, not just one, right? In fact, if I crush the next 9, right, leading up to Valentine's Day, maybe there's even a little grace on Valentine's Day if I don't deliver huge, right? Like, but she's like, man, he's crushed it for the last 10. So maybe that's my answer. Yeah, who knows?
This is a great point. And it leads me to another story with another couple that I worked with. And it was about the pressure of the sex. They hadn't been having a lot of sex. And this is when both of them were working with me, not just the guy. And, you know, so much pressure. Got to get it right. Got to be hard. Got to make her come. Like, so much pressure. And so I'm like, no, 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 we're going to slow this down. And on day one, all we're going to do is hold hands. That's it. That's it. Day two, we're just going to kiss. No tongue allowed. Try that. Just no tongue allowed. That's all. That's all. And then day three, kissing tongue allowed. Day four. And they're like, what? This is boring. I'm like, no, 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 no. We want wins, presence, exploration with a boundary of safety that nothing else is going to happen. And then it would, you know, as we progressed, it was sensual massage, but no nipples, no yoni, no cock, just the rest of the body. There's a surrender that happens when you, for a woman at least, when you know you're just sort of waiting for him to stick it in, you know, and you're never actually relaxed, never, because you're waiting. But if you know, and even set a timer, 20 minutes, not going to stick it in, no nipples, nothing, just relax. Oh my God, the surrender, the opening like a lotus flower that happens because you actually feel safe and you can let go. It's a totally different world, or a night of only pleasing him. And then a night of only pleasing her, or a night of only porn, or a night of only erotic fiction, or a night of sex and nature, like whatever. Like, I gave them little assignments every single day. So they had an experience of winning and healthy boundaries that could then, that, I mean, that's like the apprentice becomes the artist. So it's not a script. You have all these different skill sets now that you in the present moment can trust and feel and ask questions. Or a night of only asking questions, a night of only communication. Tell me something that turns you on back and forth. And all you get to say is thank you. Or a night of tell me something you're afraid to tell me. And that's it. And all you get to say is thank you. There's so many different assignments I can give couples to bring back the spark and the sensuality and the safety and the intimacy by taking it slow and consistent. And so I'm reminded I was on Christopher Lockhead's podcast again the other day for Valentine's Day. And he was teasing me how his wife will throw the foot rub lotion into his lap and say, it puts it on the foot and rubs it, or something like this. He's so fucking funny. I love that.
And he is hysterical.
He's so hysterical. And then I'm like, okay, I have an idea for you. So have you ever blindfolded her and done like a night of sensuality? He's like, tell me more. And so he wouldn't answer. So I'm like, okay, so blindfold her and bring out a sensual night, right? So you've got like maybe some chocolate to feed her, or then maybe like a salty tortilla chip, or like a sour lemon, or like an ice cube, or like feathers, or like cashmere blanket, and all these different ways to tantalize her and create trust. And create, oh my goodness, what's going to happen next, right? This. So he's like, okay, tell me more. I just like hearing you talk about this. And so we had so much fun, but this is a wonderful idea for Valentine's Day. It doesn't have to be this big dinner and all this stuff. It could be something very inexpensive of a platter of all these different sensual and tasting experiences for your lover that would build intimacy and trust, right? So have fun with that kind of sensual platter and make it not just on Valentine's Day. Maybe you blindfold her every day in February. And, you know, night one, it's a potato chip. And she's like, that's it. And you're like, hang on, tomorrow night, you just wait for tomorrow night. and it can grow and grow. And the delight of really being able to open to the mystery, open to the unknown, open to your partner. Of what are they bringing to you next? Can you just imagine? Well, tell me, what would that be like after just week one, let alone week four? Pretty sexy.
This is real fire here, Elena. This is real fire. I'm like, I don't know if I've ever paused that long after somebody stopped talking on a podcast. I'm just thinking to myself about all the possibilities here. This is what's really cool. I'll be honest with you. I'm always honest with you. What I love about this is it's really giving me ideas about what I can do with Tatiana that would light her up. Like I could just see her. I see the surprises. I see it. I feel it. Like giving me hope that I can I can win in the days in February that are important to this holiday.
Yeah.
I'm not going to just
She's
label
so
it as.
Open. Yeah. She's so open.
She is so open. Yeah.
I can already just see her. Like, I would like to do this to her. She's so much fun.
Yeah. She actually would like that. She would like that. Yeah. I'll tell you what's one of the things that really I love about Tatiana, and everybody who knows her knows this about Tatiana, is she is so free and fun and playful. Like even today we went to the gym and we're riding the exercise bike in this class with this guy, Scott, who's a friend of ours who teaches, and he's dancing and she's dancing. And I just like, I love watching Tatiana because the way she moves, the way like, and what I mean that is like, not just the move, it's literally the heart behind it all, because she's so free. She, you know, on New Year's, we went dancing. That's what she wants to do. She loves to dance. Ping pong, dance. Those two things would be like her jam. And, you know, she's dancing like in front of this mirror, and she's learning how to do these specific dance moves right now. She's studying this particular type of dance called shuffle. I don't know if you know this, like at a lot of the electronic dance music festivals, there this type of dance called shuffle. You just YouTube it, you'll see.
Okay.
And she's learning how to do this, but she's in front of the mirror, and I could tell that she's so just free that she's not worried about what anybody's thinking or you know, whether they're judging her or whatever. I, on the other hand, am very different than that. I get so nervous when I'm dancing. I'm like, everybody's looking at me, and then I'm like, no, nobody cares about you that much, John, right? Yeah. But it's what lights me up about Tatiana. Anyway, I know nobody asked me to say what I love about my wife, but I had to just go on that rant because...
Oh, please. Yeah.
She's totally free.
I love her for that. She inspires it in others as well, which is so beautiful. Mm. And I'm more like you and now more like her. Like, I was wired more like you. And when I was 21, 22, when I lived in Tokyo and I was in Thailand for the, you know, the full moon parties on Koh Phangan. And what I realized was I was a dancer, I was a model, but I was so concerned about looking good to get the job, to get the guy, to whatever, that I gave myself this exercise. And we were staying on the opposite side. So it wasn't like the busier side, but there were still, you know, people on the beach, and it was like a 3-mile stretch. And I decided that I would wear a floss G-string and I would walk up and down that beach until I no longer gave a shit what people thought about me. Mm. And it took hours and hours. And I was so, suck your tummy in. Oh, look at they're looking at her. Oh, no, I'm looking at them. I'm judging them. Like, I was so humbling of how insecure I was. But I kept going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth until finally on the last turnaround back towards my little $3 bungalow and in towards the sunset, I had a direct experience. All the judgment went away. And I was at one with the waves and the sun and the sand and my body and life. And it brought tears. It was like all gravity went away. And I finally came home to my body. It was like that level of commitment and practice where I never recovered, thank God. Where, I mean, I still hope people think I'm hot or beautiful or whatever. I mean, but I really don't even care. It's like, I actually don't even care. I just love to be free and be with people. And I love sensuality and I love sexuality and I love nature. And I love that we get to be here. We get to be here, you know?
Do you think all people need to experience a nude beach at one point in their life?
Oh, yes.
Just drop it like it's hot and get out there.
I think it's phenomenal. And even if you're never willing to do it in real life, do it in your mind. But do it.
Yeah.
Because that level of freedom, add that into any present moment, you'll have fun, more fun dancing. You'll have more fun speaking on a stage. You'll have more fun playing with your kids. Like, I think that's why I'm such a goofball with my son. And I'm like, wait, if we're having dinner, but we could have dinner in the driveway on a blanket with pillows, playing the matching game, eating with our fingers. Oh, like this playfulness, being willing to put 10% more of energy into an experience to get 100% return on investment. Like, that's who I am. Right. And I think that's really what contributed to it. My willingness to let go of what other people thought. Yeah.
I remember, when I was younger, probably like mid-20s, we'll say, I went to Jamaica for a company trip. And I remember hearing at this particular property, there's like a nude beach on the property. And I thought, I'd never been to a nude beach before. I was going to definitely walk down and check this out.
Yeah.
And I walked down there, and what I saw was, you know, I was thinking I was going to see all these incredibly sexy people on the beach without their clothes on. And instead, what I saw was just people in their 50s and 60s, 70s who were totally naked on this beach. And I thought, oh,
how this works. You don't go to the nude beach until you're like, ah, fuck it. Right? Like, I don't care what anybody thinks. You know, it happens in their 50s to 70s. But I know that's not entirely true. But in this particular case, it was. It was a massive shift from what I was thinking I was going to see.
You're like, could you please put some clothes on?
That's right. I just love they didn't care. They were just like, yeah, having fun, free.
Yeah.
Alana, were there any other stories that you wanted to share that derailing us here, did I interrupt your story flow?
No, there's just another fun idea for people that I thought to spark some ideas for Valentine's
Day. Hear it.
I had a boyfriend once who sat me down. And we live in California. So this is, you know, you're going to have to do this in the garage with the heater on if you're living someplace with a lot of snow. But for us, it was in California. So outside in a lawn chair in the driveway. And he got me a drink and he put on the tunes and he proceeded to wash my car in front of me and get a little wet with his t-shirt and his muscles. And it was so hot that I was being forced to watch him do this and that he was giving and just he was rubbing the car and I was just like, it was so hot. And then it didn't even stop there. Inside the car, he had brought our little laptop and, you know, Netflix. And there was, I think there was like 9.5 weeks or something. Like, he got a really sexy movie on and he had like the whole spread set up inside the car. I never knew he did it. And we sat inside the car and we watched a movie and we made out. And it was so simple and so pure and so delicious and so thoughtful. I just adore him. It was a beautiful experience. So what I'm trying to show you is that women love gifts. I'm going, who doesn't love a gift? Mm. But it's turn the gift into an experience. I even wrote a whole book. It's called Scoring a Relationship, Turning Gifts into Experiences She'll Never Forget. It's on my website. And it's got like 10 ideas like this in it and pictures of the actual boyfriend from all those years ago.
Nice.
Because we had like a photo shoot because I'm like, you're amazing, dude. You do all these wonderful things for me. I need to turn it into a book.
Wow.
So I did. And so that's how he really got my heart, is that he could have just washed my car and then taken me out for dinner. And that would have been really lovely. But he took it to a whole other level by including me and making it an experience. I really want you to get that that's really what opens her heart. And if you need to put her in the garage in her jacket with hot chocolate, with the heater going and wash the car in the garage, do it. No excuses here. Be creative and have fun.
What do you say to the guys that are thinking right now, I'm not creative like that, and or I'm just pissed at my wife and I don't think I can bring myself to do something that nice because we're in a shitty place?
Yeah. Well, idea wise, go get my book, whatever. So that those are some ideas there. But the real issues is, can we finally stop blaming, avoiding, running away from our problems? Book a call with me and let's do the inner work. Because there's no way your marriage is ever going to work if you hate her underneath the surface and then want her to put out every so often. Like, come on, people, grow up. Grow up. Be a legendary man. Do the inner work to forgive her. There's probably some forgiveness of your mom or dad in there. There's probably some forgiveness of yourself in there. And then invite her to phase two of your relationship. Put phase one to bed. Build a new phase two of intimacy, authenticity, connection, deep communication, sensual connection, heart connection. That so that she can be the wind in your wings, the fuel in your sails. You deserve it. You're not a victim. You're in charge. So call me. This is the work I do. I'm masterful at it. Don't ask me to cook. Don't ask me to change a tire. Don't ask me to do a lot of other things. Don't know how to do that. Don't ask me to be an accountant. But this is my genius. I make people feel very, very safe. And I inspire the best in them. And you deserve it.
Mm. Alana, that's a wonderful way for us to wrap here. I think that's just a beautiful bow on this whole conversation. And man, I've got a lot of notes here. I feel way more empowered than I did an hour ago about winning on Valentine's Day. That is a true story. You've given me hope. You've given me the creative ideas. I might just swipe and deploy some of those ideas directly. I'm excited. I'm literally going to block out some time. And I think that's my challenge to the guys. Block out a little time right now in your calendar. Don't add it to your to-do list. Add it to your calendar. Mm. Block out some time, whatever time you need, 30 minutes, an hour, or something, and sit down and really think about, here's my takeaway, right? Is what lights up my wife? What's fun for her? But what's also fun for me? And one of the things I've tried to do in the past is create
only a Valentine's Day for her. And maybe that's why I was resentful a little bit around it, is that I didn't put any part in there for me.
Yeah, you could have fun.
Yeah. So I wanna design it so that I meet her needs. Like, I can already see ping pong in our future or some dancing, and I think that would light her up that day. But I also want to add some things in there that I think would be fun for me, because I feel that if I'm charged, I'll be able to serve at the highest level. Yeah. I'm also thinking about the days around Valentine's Day. That was a fresh takeaway for me. I loved your comment early on also about being the bank of the river. That describes my relationship with Tatiana so well. I love that. And yeah, and maybe her car is going to be really clean. I don't know. Like, there's lots of possibilities here. But thank you so, so much. Yeah. Alana, is there anything you wanted to say that hasn't been said? I think you beautifully wrapped it up. I don't know, you know, but I just want to give you space if that we left something out.
First logistically and then heart-wise. Logistically, I'm so proud, as I said, my new site went live today, and there's an intimacy blind spot assessment quiz on there, totally free. If you are hurting in the realm of intimacy, or you just want to take good to great or great to glorious, take that quiz. I also, for your listeners, I created a code. Normally, it's a wonderful new problem I have. I don't have time to work with my clients and do my calls with people interested in working with me. So I've hired an intimacy success advisor. She's extraordinary. She's been trained by me. Her name is Natalie. Normally, it's $97. You just sign up on my site. But for your people, if you put in the code VDAY for Valentine's Day, all capitals, VDAY, V-D-A-Y, it's complimentary for your people for the month of February. So if you do want to explore the possibility of getting support in your relationship, I wanted to make it really easy for you. And so you'll be speaking with Natalie about working with me. So that's like the logistics. And then from my heart, I just want you to know that you're not supposed to have it perfect. You're not supposed to be perfect. No day is supposed to be perfect. Science tells us that every day, every moment is equal pain and pleasure, equal challenge and support, equal night and day, equal dark and light. We are the nexus point, the zero point, the still point, the middle of it all is us. And so if we can embrace the challenge as much as the pleasure, if we cannot beat ourselves up when we fall down and only praise ourselves when we triumph, if we can just love the shit out of the whole thing of life and love the shit out of every part of us, our wobbly part and our triumphant part, then we can be in presence, we can be in grace, we can be home. We can choose and be our best self. So just to give yourself a break and have fun on Valentine's Day for yourself and for her. And thank you so much, John, for having me on the show. I love you and appreciate you. And big kisses to Tatiana and the boys.
Alana, I love you too. Thank you so much for being such a beautiful, radiant, loving source of energy in my life and for my family too. I'm excited about our continuing efforts to serve men. In fact, if you're listening to this and you're one of our brothers, one of our Front Row Dad members, then we have Alana for a special call on February 13th, right? Just before Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
I think that's right. Yeah. So we've got a call in 2 weeks from the moment that we record this. Our guys will get some time with Alana to dig in, ask questions, you know, share what they want to share, ask what they want to ask. It's going to be a really cool conversation. Yeah. So Alana, I hope everybody goes and checks out your new site. We'll link to that in the show notes, but it, just in case they want to go straight there, what's the URL?
Oh, it's my name, Alana Pratt, AlanaPratt.com.
Awesome. And again, we'll have that in all the notes from this episode, and anything that we might have mentioned, we'll put over at frontrowdads.com. If you guys need to find Alana and you can't, even with her incredible presence online, for some reason, just hit me up and I'll put you in touch with Alana. Yeah, absolutely. And also my gift to Alana and to you guys out there listening, for anybody that picks up one of Alana's books and writes a review, I will send you a copy of the Front Row Factor book as a thank you for supporting Alana and giving her some love online. So just shoot me an email. Let me know it's done. Send me a screenshot of a review of Alana's book, and we will get a copy of the Front Row Factor book out to you as a thank you. Guys, I think that's it. Alana, thank you so much again for being here. Much love to you. And I can't wait for to see you and talk with you again in 2 weeks.
Yes, absolutely. All my love to you as well.
Hey guys, if you haven't already done so, go right now to frontrowdads.com/Facebook and join the conversation that's happening right now online. We designed this group for guys who are entrepreneurial in their thinking, that are high performing guys with low egos.
We're looking for the dads that believe in teaching their kids how to think, solve problems, and be real leaders. We're looking for guys who believe in being family men with businesses, not businessmen with families. We're looking for the fathers who have great knowledge, but also believe that they have so much more to learn. And we're looking for men who want to add value by sharing their wisdom and those that are willing to ask the questions that we all need and want answers to. That's frontrowdads.com/Facebook, or simply go to Facebook, type in Front Row Dads, and you'll get to our group. And what we put in there, links to all the podcasts and videos and other resources that you can't get access to anywhere else except for in this group. We want to give you the best ideas to help you with your marriage, balancing work and family life, communication strategies with your spouse and also your children, travel ideas, and even suggestions on the latest gear that would save you time and help you be more effective. We've got updates on upcoming events and so much more. Go right now to frontrowdads.com/Facebook and join the conversation. I'll look forward to connecting with you there.